But a message I've entitled Give Thanks, or How to Give Thanks. And we're going to use the word thanks. I know, six letters. It's a little longer than some of my words are. But it's such an important topic. And so many times we hear that, and I'm guessing you're like me, that you've had people that have said thank you, that you really haven't felt a lot of sincerity behind it. You know it's been done because it was the proper thing to do, or somebody told them, you have to tell them thanks, but there just wasn't much heart behind it. And you've had others where their thanks have been so genuine that it's just almost overwhelming to you to receive that. But as I thought about it, I want to wrap this message around what I would call the stereotypical Thanksgiving Day gathering. And I don't know about you, but I grew up that we really didn't do much for Thanksgiving. Our family, my dad and his brother farmed together. My grandparents on my dad's side was involved in that as well. We were together as family all the time. And so things like Thanksgiving really weren't all that special. We didn't treat them as all that special. It was just another day on the farm. But I married into a family where family gatherings were kind of a big thing. By the time that I had come along, so some of the kids had been scattered through college and ministry and things. And so bringing the family back together was a special thing. And so whether your family gatherings, I know there's people that their family gatherings are more chaotic than they are encouraging. And they do everything they can to avoid them or to drop in and disappear as quickly as possible. But I want to think about an ideal family gathering. What I would call a made-for-movie Thanksgiving gathering. And I want to take some elements out of that, what that would look like as instructions on how to give thanks. And I think about 2 Thessalonians, the intro had a segment on that where God says to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will in Christ Jesus. And I think the intro did a good job of explaining that, that there are things that we definitely are not thankful for, but even in the midst of those, there are things in life and in our relationship with Christ that are reasons to still give thanks. And we don't give thanks for the news of a terminally ill person. But there's things within the knowledge of that that we can be thankful to God for His presence, His peace, His assurance that there's more to life than this. And so as we enter this idea of how to give thanks, I want to begin with Psalm 100. And the whole chapter, there's just a few verses here. But it says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Therefore, enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. As I read that 100th Psalm, there's so much there that it's like, okay, so a month isn't long enough to focus on Thanksgiving. It really ought to be something that we learn throughout this month and then apply to our life every day that we live. And so how do we do that? I want to begin by saying we give thanks by giving turkey. Now, what family gathering, what Thanksgiving Day gathering is complete without a big pile of turkey carved there at the table? And you may think, well, that's kind of an odd thing to give. How does that have to do with giving thanks? Well, when I think about giving turkey, I think about giving the substance to the meal. Yeah, there's a whole lot of other things that go with it, and if that's all you have, I would be happy, but most people wouldn't. I'm satisfied with just a big plate of meat. But most people, they want a little more variety in their Thanksgiving deal. But to leave that out, there would be something substantial missing. In Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 14, now I want to jump down to actually verse 14 to focus on that. He says, "But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil." In that passage, Paul's talking about this idea that we ought to be able to handle solid food, but by our actions, our behavior, he's kind of had to settle to giving them milk. Giving them something less substantial than what they really ought to have. I think sometimes in our giving of thanks to God and to one another, we settle for lesser things. We settle for something that's less than substantial, something substantial. And when we give thanks to God, we ought to give thanks with the things that are meat, the things that are of weight, the things that are of importance. When we give thanks to one another, we ought to be able to give specific things that we're thankful for. It's easy when we gather together, we meet with people, say, I'm just thankful that you're you. Well, what does that mean? I mean, that almost sounds like a cop-out that we say in a generic form because we haven't even figured out what it is we're thankful for. But there's something that God has put into each person. And sometimes it's a thankfulness for a person's willingness to just listen. For a person's eagerness to help with whatever need that you have. Their willingness to just drop everything. You see, as we give thanks, we give turkey, we give substance, we give meat behind it. And when we go to God, it's so easy to say, God, I'm just thankful for everything. And yet as we go through Thanksgiving, I always think it's a great practice to spend each day during the month of November thinking one thing that I'm thankful for today, a specific thing. And I think when we do that, we begin to give turkey, we begin to give meat, we begin to give substance in our thanks to God. And I'm thankful for God's giving me a family. I'm thankful for His Son, Jesus, and the salvation I have. I'm thankful for His mercy that covers the sins that I commit. See, we can go on and on every day. And sometimes that thankfulness overflows into the people that God has put into our life. Because when we begin thanking God, we realize that their presence is because of Him. And so not only do we thank God, then we ought to be thanking them as well. So as we give thanks, we give turkey. We also, as we give thanks, we give humor. One of the things that I think kills a lot of large gatherings is when people take themselves way too seriously. And so many times when we gather, it's good to just enjoy life together, to laugh together. And I'm not talking about, and the Bible's very clear about not using coarse jesting, and we need to be careful in what we define humor to be. But what is it that brings joy into our life, that brings laughter to a gathering? And when we give thanks, when we approach people, when we interact with people in ways that allow them to laugh, to find enjoyment in the gathering, to find enjoyment in life. In Psalm 126, verses 2 and 3, it says, "Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them." I think so many times we give thanks because we feel we ought to. And the world is looking at us as God's people and they're saying, where's the joy? Where's the happiness? See, when we give thanks to God with joy, with laughter, with excitement, then the nations, the people around us see that. And they recognize that that comes from our God. And it's back to that, you know, you tell a child that, you know, somebody gives them something and you tell them, well, you have to say thank you. And sometimes they reach a point where they're able to do that joyfully and happily, and they're excited because they really are thankful. But other times we're that child. And we say it just because we're told we have to. And there's really no joy, no happiness. And the person we're saying thanks to, even God that we're saying thanks to, is wondering, I think, really? Are you really thankful? It doesn't appear that it's made you all that happy. You see, so many times we look at life and we want the circumstances around us to fill us with joy and happiness. And God says, I want you to be filled with joy and happiness through me. So as we give humor, we don't take ourselves so seriously. One of the dark sides of social media is we're all experts all of a sudden. And we're also easily offended by someone that posts something or comments on something or says something that we don't agree with. Because obviously I'm right. That means they have to be wrong. Sometimes it's just good to sit back and even laugh at ourselves and to find humor in life and realizing that God desires for His people to enjoy life and enjoy the company of one another. And so as we learn how to give thanks, we give substance, we give the turkey, we give the humor. We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we also learn to give in abundance. 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 2, Peter writes and says, grace and peace to yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. And so many of the greetings of the New Testament letters begin with this idea of grace and peace to you. And Peter's one that he's not satisfied with just grace and peace to you. He says he wants you to have it in abundance. And I say this about a lot, but this is one that I always come back to. One of my favorite verses is John 10:10. Jesus says, the thief comes to kill and to steal and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. Or some of the translations I've memorized, it says, to have it abundantly. You know, if we were to have a gathering, and one of the things about church gatherings and coming to here at times for meals is food is generally not scarce. And I've been in places in this world where there isn't a lot. But if they have company, and I remember I was in Russia over my birthday a lot of years ago, and some of the church people there discovered that it was my birthday. And said, well, we have to do something. Well, I mean, this was an impoverished community. They had nothing. They were living on nothing. I mean, it was just, they were happy, but from an American standpoint and viewpoint, it's like, I don't get it. And they did it up big. I mean, they had the food, just all kinds of things, but their main course was liver. Well, yeah, I was hoping it was ice cream, but it was liver. And I don't care for liver at all. But I knew how much they had sacrificed in order to have that. And so I ate it joyfully. But even in their scarcity, they knew that to thank me for coming and to sharing God's word with them, they wanted to give in an abundance. It's like Pastor Stephen was talking about these shoeboxes and sending them out and the blessings that we've received as American people. And what am I giving back? Do I give God what's left over? Do I give the person that I see that has great need what's left over? Or do I give thanks abundantly? do I give out of the overwhelming riches that God has supplied? You see, we give thanks, we give abundantly. I think in our culture, I have a hard time doing that at times. I grew up in this atmosphere, this era, which was not a bad atmosphere of working hard. But sometimes working hard makes you believe you've earned everything that you have. And it's through life that I realize, even through that hard work, the only reason I could work hard is because God enabled me to do so. And everything that I thought I had earned myself was earned through the goodness of God. And as we learn to give thanks, we learn to give substance. We learn to give that turkey part of the meal. We learn to give humor, to not take ourselves too seriously. But we learn to give abundantly. It's always that challenging scripture to me when Jesus says that he who has much more will be given, but he who has little, even that will be taken away from him. I think, wait a minute, that just doesn't even sound right. But in the context there, Jesus is talking about the one who has much because he's sharing. And the one who has little because he's stingy and he's trying to hoard it to himself. And so within that context, Jesus says, if you're not willing to give abundantly, even what you think you have will soon disappear. So we give thanks to God when we learn to give abundantly. We give thanks to others when we learn to give generously. But also we give thanks to God, we give thanks to others when we learn to give naps. And I know with the time change and this one's not nearly as hard as the spring one, but there's just something about trying to readjust our bodies where today seems like a special day for naps. I'm one that, it's funny that both Rick and Leo kind of touched on these, as one that preaches, I worry during time change Sunday that somehow I'm going to get it wrong and I'm going to show up an hour late. But I also worry that I'm going to sit my Bible down somewhere in my notes and walk off without it and show up without that when I'm preaching somewhere. But rest is a God-ordained thing. And sometimes we just need to step back and allow a person time to rest. I mean, that's part of these American made-for-movie Thanksgiving gathering that I have pictured in my mind. We fill ourselves with the good things of God, and afternoon comes, and we just need to process it. And when it's food that we're filling ourselves with, sometimes the best processing is to just lay down and rest. And yet, God wants us to go beyond the physical rest. He wants to provide rest for our very soul, for our very being. Over in 1 John chapter 3. Verses 18 through 20. He writes, "Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. This then is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in His presence. Whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts and He knows everything." I'm guessing there's probably a few people, at least a little bit like me in this room, that we tend to overthink things. And we go through life, and even in these gatherings, as I'm picturing this Thanksgiving gathering, we replay scenes in our mind, and we think, I probably shouldn't have said that. That probably went over wrong. That probably wasn't taken correctly. And we do that in our spiritual life. We begin to wonder, did I pray enough? Did I read the Bible enough? Did I do the right things? And God says through Peter that it's the love that we have for one another that sets our hearts at rest. When we begin to practice giving thanks out of a love for people, out of a love for God, then our hearts can be at rest, knowing we've done what God's required of us, what God desired from us. You see, so often we think of busyness as being this American quality. And yet Jesus says to come to Him, all who are weary, and He will give us rest. So sometimes as we want to give thanks to God, we just need to step back and say, God, I thank You that You've designed me to not only need rest, but You provide times that I can take it. But when we think about giving thanks to one another, perhaps it's a need to say, just step back for a moment. Spend some time to yourself. You know, so often we get so used to expecting things from people. And what family gathering isn't complete without everybody having their thing? I know when with my family, the Lemler family, Christmas gathering, we all bring in something. And I'm guessing if some year one of us would decide to bring something different, it would disrupt the entire day. Well, where's this? Well, I made this instead. Well, that doesn't work. But what if we were to simply say, just relax. It'll work. And as we give thanks, we give people an opportunity to step back and to be who God created them to be. And we can do that through rest. And so we give thanks by giving turkey, by giving the substance of our thanks. We give humor. We don't take ourselves too seriously. We give generously in abundance. We give time to rest through naps. But we also give thanks by giving kindness. I'm hoping that most families have somebody within them that's just, well, not quite the same as everybody else. I might have a weird family and we're the only one, but there always seems to be that person at a family gathering that you just know you deal with because of the family. You're kind to them because of the family. If they weren't family, you'd probably question even opening the door for them. But we give thanks when we offer kindness to people who are different than us, to people that don't agree with us about everything. See, the church ought to be a place, God's family ought to be a place where we can gather with differing opinions and come together with the knowledge that God is still God and that we can be kind to one another. We can teach gently. And there are some opinions that we hold that we ought to change because they're not scriptural. But there are a lot of opinions that we hold that are just stuff that we prefer that somebody else doesn't. You know, kind of like the liver thing. You know, there's people that just love liver, and that's okay. They can have all my share as well. But as we think about offering kindness, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32. It says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice, but be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as in Christ God forgave you. When I think about giving thanks, there's this element of kindness that ought to lead us to forgiveness. I don't know of any greater form of kindness than being able to forgive someone. We can do all kinds of things kind of on the surface that are kind to people. But when it comes down to it, the kindness that we all need the most is the kindness of God expressed in the forgiveness of our sins. Completely unmerited, completely undeserved. And that's the kind of kindness, that we all ought to have when we give thanks to God, when we give thanks to one another. To recognize that this expression of forgiveness may not be deserved, but neither was the forgiveness that was offered to me. And that's what we do at these family gatherings, these Thanksgiving Day gatherings. Your family, so come sit at the table. Whatever wrong you've done, we can forgive, we can address. And I probably ought to put in a disclaimer here. God never says that it doesn't matter. Our sins do matter. He wants us to completely repent, to turn away from them, to reject them. It's not that he says, I forgive you, I accept you, can do whatever you want. His forgiveness is designed to lead us to change. But it's done in a way that welcomes us. And the kindness that we offer to one another isn't a blanket acceptance of sinful activity. It's a forgiveness that's designed to draw people to change, to come into relationship with Jesus Christ. And finally, as we learn to give thanks, we not only give turkey and humor and abundance and naps and kindness, but what Thanksgiving gathering is not complete without the sweets? We could do everything else, and if there's no pie table, dessert table, ice cream bar, whatever it is, or typically a combination of all of it, we're kind of walking away feeling cheated. At least in our American culture. And so when I think about giving thanks by giving sweets, I'm talking about going above and beyond what's necessary. I know I claim that I cannot live without ice cream, but in reality, that's not necessary. And that's a hard truth for me to hold on to. But it is the above and beyond stuff. In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 24. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. So much of the Proverbs talks about this idea of our words either having the ability to harm or the ability to heal. And sometimes it's that simple word with all of these other characteristics behind it of thank you that brings a sweetness to another person's soul. But many times it's that simple words of thank you given by us with all of the rest of the stuff behind it that brings a sweetness to our own soul. You see, when we go above and beyond, when we add the extras, when we do more than's necessary, We express a gratitude that's filled with generosity. See, as we learn to give thanks, we give more than's expected. If it's only what's expected, it's almost like this reciprocal business agreement. There's so many times where I've been involved in different groups and they'll have I'm not supposed to use this word till next month, but a Christmas drawing. A name drawing for Christmas presents. And typically one of the first, particularly if it's a more work-oriented group, one of the first questions to ask is what's the dollar limit? I don't want to spend too much. I don't want to spend more than I have to. I really don't like you guys that much is what we're not saying out loud, but that's usually what's going behind it. I don't want to give you a $20 gift and I come to the exchange and I only get something worth $5. And yet there's other groups that I'm in that I really don't care. I want to give what God has laid in my heart to give and I don't care what I receive back. I want to give those sweets. I want to say thank you. I'm giving this because I appreciate you. Regardless. That's what I mean when I talk about giving thanks by giving sweets. That over and above stuff. And when we do that with God, the only thing over and above that we can even come close to offering is our entire life. And even that's hard to define as over and above because he deserves that. But it's all we have. And as we learn to give thanks, it's my prayer that we would learn to give turkey. We would learn to give humor. We would learn to give abundantly. We would learn to even give naps. We would learn to give kindness. And we would learn to give sweets. It's my prayer as we go through this month of November, as we approach this Thanksgiving Day holiday, regardless of what your gatherings look like, that you'll be able to express thanks in a greater way because you have God to be thankful for life itself. Would you stand as we pray? Father, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you that you've given so much through him that we can never repay. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your generosity. I thank you for the turkey, the substance that you've given us. I thank you that in my perspective, you have such an incredible sense of humor. I believe you laugh along with us. I thank you for the abundance of your grace and mercy. I thank you for calling us to rest and giving us those opportunities. I thank you for your kindness, your loving kindness that endures forever. And beyond anything I deserve, I thank you for the sweets, the over and above stuff that you give. You not only give life, but you give it to the full. Father, it's my prayer that each one of us here today would live a life of gratitude as we learn to give thanks in a greater way. And Father, that our thanks that we give to you would just be an example, the standard by which we thank others as well. May we not only learn to be thankful to you, but may the people around us know us as thankful people. It's in Jesus' name that I pray.